the generic live show with Dale Campbell.
Yes! Hello, everyone, and welcome to the GLS show. This is the generic live show. Take two, episode number 23, the 29th of July, 2015. It sounds like shit, but that's okay. So, you know, as long as we are on air, that's all that matters, because the broadcasting software has crashed three times in the last little while before coming on air. So, we are here. We are queer. Get used to it. My god, I can't believe we're still going to go ahead with the show with Crunchy 2015, but onwards and upwards. It's 6 past the hour and we're running super behind, so we're going to not waste any more time, but go straight on to the news.
On to the news!
Yes, that's right. So in the headlines today, a Microsoft Windows boss has defended the company's decision to forcibly install all software updates in Windows 10, saying that users cannot, quote, take the roof off on all the sides of the house and expect it to be secure. But the company also seems to be backing away from the controversial stance that it launches Windows 10 today, introducing a new to hide some software updates in test versions of its software. Microsoft will launch its Windows 10 operating systems in 190 countries today, offering the software as a free download for the first time in the company's history. Existing Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 qualify for the free upgrade, and those who reserved a copy of the software will receive a desktop notification when they can download it. And by the way, I have not received said update, but, you know, this is probably... Okay, I'm going to be a conspiracy theorist here. This is probably why I'm having so many issues with 8.1, because they know Windows 10 is coming. In an exclusive interview, Microsoft Windows Devices Group Executive Vice President Terry Monson said offering Windows 10 as a free upgrade as a service is a completely different approach to the technology giant that traditionally staged midnight launches and sold box copies of its operating systems. Microsoft also sought an unexpected amount of feedback from testers on Windows 10. Mr. Myron said to refine new features and ensure no repeats of stir created when it removed the start menu from Windows 8. The Windows Insider program has now 5 million people and is an integral part of how the product has been built, he said. And we will have more Windows talk on the other side of the middle break. So stay tuned for that. GoDaddy, you know who GoDaddy is, surely. I do apologize for the mic. GoDaddy, you know who GoDaddy is. They have the really, really bad Super Bowl commercials. Well, it didn't take long. Well, over a month of asking individual investors to pony up some money through crowdfunding. Oh, sorry, that's the net. Actually, you know what? GoDaddy. That's what GoDaddy stood for us. GoDaddy, one of the world's largest web hosting companies and domain registrars, launched formally in Australia today. Although it hasn't localized online offerings since 2012, the company hopes to better serve Australia, with more than 2 million small businesses having an Australia-dedicated team. James Corral, Head of International Business and Development at GoDaddy, told Mashable Australia. GoDaddy has about 13 million customers across 42 markets worldwide. The company did not disclose the number of Australian users. However, Corral said the company services have proved extremely popular down under. Even before GoDaddy had set up its site to support Australian payments and domain names, it saw Australian customers using the US site and paying US dollars to Apple. The number of local users have been increasing, however, and it's because of the growth of the company's taking the next step in local operations, Carol said. Along with Australia-tailored product services prices, customers can also express hyper-local domains like .sydney and .melbourne and others immediately available as they are rolled out. The call centre serving Australian customers is based in Phoenix, Arizona at the moment, but it could be moved to Australia if saw fit.
I mean,
I don't know. It could be good. I am aware that GoDaddy has a certain reputation, and I'm not going to hide the fact that I know that reputation, so, you know, you've got to take it for what it is. I'm still thrown off by all of these crashes. I do apologize for the sloppiness of today's episode. What else? Well, it didn't take long. After a month of individual investors told to pony up money through the California Science Start Engine, LO Motors have announced today that it'll reach the $25 million level. Now, that does not mean the LO has a check for $25 million. Instead, Start Engine says that the amount, actually $25,161,050, has made a non-binding injection of interest from 6,665 people as of this recording. Those 6,665 people have invested on average $3,775 into LO, by the way. GLS Maths. Oh, we have a new theme for GLS Maths. Whenever we do maths on this show, we gotta play this bumper. Yes! That's right. pretty sure tour for that one. In a statement, LO Motors CEO Paul Elo stated that $25 million is, quote, just the beginning as we race towards our 2016 goal of mass production. I almost read as mass seduction. We're on goal for mass seduction. But goal, hang on, let me type this in here, goal of mass seduction. That is in there. Let's see. It was last month purely positive for LO. Once the campaign started to get some attention, suspect investors joined the party. Even though they were eventually integrated, and some were kicked out of the group of investors, with the company's crowdfunding target now met, focus now shift towards the 84 miles per gallon 6,800 trike out of audio shows that are upcoming in Shreveport, LA, and onto the road. And this car looks pretty cool, but, you know, is it worth all that money? I don't know. It's a lot of money. $6,000 for a car. It needs to go. But this weekend has been really rough for fighting game enthusiasts. Just 1 week after EVO and the long-awaited Street Fighter V beta finally arrived Thursday night, it then immediately died and then stumbled to life not too long after. And then it died again, and then it finally, Jeffrey Combs showed up to inject it with glow stick fluid, and it stumbled a little bit for a small handful of people while everyone else started the game title screen and cycled throughout error messages. Basically, Street Fighter 5 beta, bombed! Sorry, I like to do that here on the show when something bombs. A few minutes in, for most, it increasingly inaccessible for the full run, and Capcom ended up temporarily suspending, then completely postponing the real beta. It understandably damaged control on Capcom's part, since the company promised three betas to players who pre-ordered the game, and the first one simply didn't work for most people. And it shows the skewness of our predictions of the game's development has become. The Street Fighter V beta wasn't a failure, it was widely successful because it failed, much like this show. But, you know, I don't know. Because it failed. Alright. I mean, I just... successful because it failed. I mean, there are a lot of things out there that are quite successful because they failed. I mean, you could name that down to the show. But yeah, there's that. I mean, Street Fighter V, it looked interesting, but you know, didn't really come up to much. But this is the flashback you've all been waiting for. A large piece of radioactive space junk on collision course with heavily populated southeast Queensland nearly 20 years ago triggered an emergency response that went all the way to the White House. But the public wasn't aware that it was happening until now. Finally, 20 years later, the truth unfolds. Former Prime Minister... Oh, it sounded like an Armageddon film plot. But former Premier of Queensland, Bob Broadridge, this week revealed how it played out in Brisbane's executive building 2 decades ago. And former Prime Minister John Howard remembers it also. Quote, the Prime Minister, then Mr. Howard, had a call from the US President, it was Bill Clinton at the time. There's an out-of-control satellite, which basically means we... re-enter over southeast Queensland, and it could cause very considerable damage. The satellite was Russia Mars, a 96 orbiter, which was fueled with 200 grams of plutonium, which failed, well, it succeeded at failing, on launch, and fired itself back towards Earth. The former Premier said that he activated a state Canada disaster response system, which alerted emergency services and federal agencies of the impending danger. Quote, it was a coordinated disaster plan which involved everyone in the event of something going wrong, a spokesperson for Howard, who yesterday was travelling England for the cricket, said that the former PM remembered taking a call from Clinton and passing on a grim message to Mr. Bobridge. Brisbane had a population of 1.6 million in 1996, and the Gold Coast was home to 376 people, plus summer tourists. An impact from such a large piece of space junk in the centre, particularly if it was still carrying a load of plutonium, could have been catastrophic. That's right. It failed... succeeding to failure to launch. That's... There's another show title already. Succeeding to fail to launch. That's right. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we like to call the news. Oh, no. There we go. I'm walking on literal eggshells because at any moment this whole thing could come crashing down. But we're gonna push through it anyway, and I know it sounds horrible. We might actually have to redo this episode. But, you know, PC gaming is on the rise, but Australians will suffer. Because we like these stories where everything around the world is, you know, succeeding, but Australia. So, you know, there's that. PC gaming on the rise, but Australians will still suffer from a broadband bottleneck. Hey, you know what I'm going to do real quick? I'm going to do something real quick. Let's see if this works. If it does work, I'm going to be really surprised. It's not going to work. Oh no. And we're back. That's right. We're back, everyone. Yeah, we're back, everyone. So, Digital Australia 16 report said for Interactive Games and Entertainment Association has revealed a strong resurgence in PC gaming over the last 2 years. But Australians say that broadband constrictions... Oh, the irony! Oh, the show is failing tonight because of broadband restrictions. Oh, such as downloads and slow speeds. Oh my god, this is the perfect article. Now, the sixth iteration of the Digital Australia report looks at gaming and interactive entertainment across the breadth of Australia's population. The IGA has been collecting data since 2005, and the lead, speaking of flashbacks, Jeff Brennan, the Professor of Communication and Media at Bond University, has called it one of the best collections of data on video games around the world. The last year's report of DA16 surveyed 3,398 individuals across 1,274 households. The terms of the device use, the report found that the population, the portion of homes that use the device to play a game has remained stable for the past 5 years. At around 9 in 10 homes, the device being used to game has changed. In 2013, 53% of respondents said they played PC games. That jumped to 83% this year. Console remained static at 62% period, and unsurprisingly, tablets and phones increased. Mobiles jumped from 47 to 66 with tablets. And we're back. Oh my god, this is literally hilarious. I cannot apologize. I cannot apologize enough. But I am so, so sorry. But where was I? So, tablets and phones increased. Discussing PC gaming results at DA16 report, Brand highlighted the specific questioning idea used. We didn't ask people if they had a PC and could play games. We asked if they were having a PC to play games. So, the report found that the average Australian was 33 years old, up from 24 in 2005. It showed a strong range in gaming amongst the older population. 49% of Australians over 50 play games, and the age group of 65 to 94, 39% were gamers. And they say that slow speeds and data limits are also limitations to why people don't play games. I mean, yeah, it makes sense, but I mean, you can't really say that data and bandwidth speeds would increase it significantly. I mean, we've seen it on this show, haven't we? Where look what's happening, things are increasing, yet we're getting worse and worse at what we're doing. But it's like, you can't... Blaming bandwidth speeds and download limits... Download limits is a different story. All right, let's start with bandwidth speeds. Blaming bandwidth speeds for why you don't game is one thing. Because, yes, you don't really have the patience. Okay, I'm not making a generalization here, but... Gamers typically want to, depending on what they're after, but the typical gamer wants to have fast-paced things. They want to do boom, 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 boom. I'm not saying violently boom, boom, but you know, they want things really, really quickly, and they want things to happen in rapid-fire succession, of course, because that's the type of thing they want to be entertained, and of course, if they're waiting for that entertainment, they're gonna go do something else. And download limits, you know, well, you know, you have to plan what kind of content you're gonna consume for that month. If you're kind of limited to, say, I don't know, 20 gigabytes, for example, you're not gonna waste that on gaming if you have to do essential things like, you know, use it for, if you're streaming as well, you got to take that into consideration. So of course then gaming gets kind of shoved to the side as well. But the thing I like about this report is it kind of identifies the trends in the gaming industry as well, which I would like to touch on. I'm a casual gamer, I will admit, full disclaimer, that yes, I am only a casual gamer that partakes in
gaming
casually, but I don't find it kind of... I do find it interesting that it is aging. Of course, as technology becomes more and more available, the population is going to increase. So, and we do have an aging population here in Australia. So, I mean, it's only natural that we have that the gaming population is going to move with the overall trends of the population. So it's kind of a given that that's what's going to happen there. It's fascinating to me that, you know, the people that did this report did it over such a long period of time as well, over 10 years as well. So, excuse me, they're finding that, you know, having that come through as well, and having the fact that probably those same people coming through this survey as well are finding it that are still gaming. That's the thing as well. The demographics are probably going up, where more people are entering at that higher age brackets. I'm not saying old people, I'm saying higher age brackets, because that's technically the politically correct term. They're still playing games, so they're probably... I'm speculating here. Hurrah, GLS speculation time. But, you know, they're moving through the age time. They're moving through the ages. They're still playing games after a period of time, despite these limits as well. So, I mean, after a period of time, I mean, gaming and advances in technology certainly do help, but yes, Australia's constant being behind on kind of bandwidth speeds and all the rest of it doesn't really help how gaming kind of moves through that gaming kind of, it kind of hinders gaming, is what I'm trying to say. But it's not the key source as well. So, very, very interesting report. As we continue, we're going to take a break now, and hopefully the second half of the show is probably going to be more tolerable than the first half, I certainly hope. Coming up, all the Windows 10 talk that you can really, really handle from one person to another. As we continue, it's 10:29.
Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/Athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/Athelor.
This program, you can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support, so we could do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geekio, or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly Cable 6 strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to ProXPN.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Want to run the latest games at the highest graphics with no lag? Want to build a computer that can make and edit movies or videos like them there professionals? Pugin Systems has your solution. Go to geek-io.net/pugin to build a brand new custom computer. We'd like to thank Pugin Systems for their support of the Geek.io network. Found the most generic live show. This is the generic live show with Dale Campbell.
This is the generic live show. Technical Difficulty Edition, episode number 23. I am Dale Campbell. Thank you for joining me. I feel horrible that this episode sounds terrible, but that's alright. We're going to push on anyway. We can't blame Windows 10. Windows 10 is something that we cannot blame, by the way. If you want something played in the mid-show, by the way, please just send it to me, thechefwonder@gmail.com. Make sure you put GLS in the subject line as well. I did have that in the script here to say, so please do send that to me. Now, Windows 10 is, if you have a window, as we mentioned earlier in the headlines, well, the blurb lines, if the, you know, if you have a Windows 7 or a Windows 8.1 device, you are eligible, if you reserved a copy through a desktop notification, you will also receive a desktop notification more likely today than not to, you know, get your free copy of Windows 10. The rollout's actually... Okay. All other reports are saying that it's actually out today, where the rollouts technically start today. So it's not out. It's technically being, well, it's technically being rolled out today. By the way, if you want to submit a question as well throughout these topics, please use the Q&A app on the Google Hangout. We forgot to mention all that at the start of the show because it's been so hectic. The download is 3 to 4 gigabytes in size, so you know you'll have to have a lot of time and space on your computer. These are some of the Q&A kind of questions. So is Windows 10 actually out today? Well, it's being rolled out today, and you'll need 3 or 4 gigabytes of internet to download it. Is it actually free? Well, kind of. If you have a legitimate copy of Windows 7 and Windows 8 is what you need to get the free upgrade. If you don't, you won't be able to eligible for this. How do you actually get it? Well, if you have an up-to-date and legitimate copy of Windows 7 Service Pack 1 or 8.1 on your desktop or laptop, you will see a Get Windows 10 notification icon on your taskbar next to the clock and volume. That is to kind of reserve your copy for Windows 10, and that's where you'll need to go to get your download. Is there a retail version that you can buy? It's highly likely that retail editions of Windows 10 will be available for purchase. However, that is unconfirmed, because what about those people who want to purchase Windows 10 and Windows, you know, who had illegitimate copies of Windows 8, for example? Not that we condone that, not that we condone having illegitimate copies of Surface Packs, and no, I'm not saying that to cover my ass. I literally did buy Windows 8 at the time. I know, I'm stupid, and I'm in the minority there, but, you know, there's that. Can you buy a Windows 10 PC or laptop today? Sure! If you go to Dick Smith, JB Hi-Fi, or Harvey Norman, they'll have their computers on show, will have Windows 10 pre-installed after today, because, you know, they'll have their that's the new operating system as of today, so they will have the kind of pre-installed software on there. It depends on the outlet as well, so you know it depends on where you go as well, so they might or might not have an updated version of their software on the computer. Will Australia users get to meet Cortana? No! Ba-ba-ba-da-bow! The answer to that question is not yes, like I thought it was. The answer wasn't this. Oh. Would help if I actually played the clip in a right channel. Here we go.
Yes!
The answer is not yes. The answer is no, Dale. Dale, the answer is no.
Yes!
No, you will not get to meet Quantana. Not straight away, at least. By the way, that yes clip is from the pre-show, so, yeah. Have fun with that. Yes. So, you know, not straight away, but, you know, you have to wait a while. I mean, you know, it's available in the US, UK, China, France, Italy, Germany, and Spain. Cortana will be available this winter. maybe in the summer for us. Again, what could time be available? Yes! No, it will not. It will be, yes, it will be available if you're in one of those, if you're in one of those countries. And finally, can you roll back to a previous version of Windows? Yes, you can. For a month. So you've got a month trial, so, you know, have fun with that. A couple of other notes about Windows 10 before we move on to our last topic of the day. It would, by the way, there would be two versions of this if they were to go to through a traditional means of selling boxed copies and what have you. They would price it at about $200, it was predicted that I was reading before the show. $200 it would be predicted as a selling price for it to be. Now, $200, that's a fair chunk, but not the most expensive Windows 10 kind of product out there. You've got to remember that. Also, another thing as well, I have used Windows 10 in its technical preview. I am on the 10 billion people, and the laptop that I have before is what I'm using now. Actually, there it is. Hang on. Let me pull out my beer machine. It's not hooked up at all. Oh, there goes the cable for it, though. And this hunk of machine here, oh, that glare, though. That hunk of machine right there. Oh, I'm old. God, it might be back to Pilates class for me. That really hurt, bending over and picking up that machine. But no, that humping machine has Windows 10 on it, and it is great. But I hear it's changed since the technical preview, though. But it's so good. I mean, it's good to have the start button and the apps and that sort of thing. But I have one thing about Windows 10. It's not going to be good for production because it is so heavy. It is a heavy operating system. That is my only downside. I haven't technically got a review of it. That's probably going to be next week. I'll probably have some sort of my thoughts on Windows 10 opening section. But at this point, I don't have anything bad to say. I don't have anything too bad to say about Windows 10. What else? So I think that's going to do it for Windows 10. I'm really, really looking forward to Windows 10. So hopefully it's good. It should be good. I would love it to come with Cortana though. Just putting that out there. Finally, in our lineup tonight, and I am going to cut this show short, unfortunately, but giving Los Angeles the Olympics. The news that Boston is no longer wants to host the, right, you guessed it, 2024 Summer Olympics isn't a shock. A few cities these days only want to, but the Olympics don't have to be bad for the city, and done right can eventually benefit it. See Utah for that example, actually, so yeah, there's that. But the Olympics... Oh, sorry. There you go. I just read the same line twice. Yes! Anyway. Oh, I have to play it. Hang on. Where is it? There you are. Yes! Oh. Crunchy yes, too. So, the Olympics would be good for you. Yeah, and even more importantly, LA would be good for the Olympics. So, just look at the Olympics news over the last few months. Alright, so recap. Alright, so Japan has cancelled its statement. Rio isn't ready. Sochi is a ghost town now that the Olympics have gone. Greece, well, you know, have you heard about Greece? Oh, if you haven't heard about what's happened in Greece, they've had this crisis. Okay, I'm not dubbing it. Oh, I'm going to be careful what I say there. I haven't dubbed it publicly on air as a crisis. They've caught themselves in a bit of a pickle, financial institutions and the European Union. I mean, there is money. I don't know. Anyway, and Los Angeles has achieved something special when it hosted the Summer Olympics in 1994. It ended up the most successful games in history. Another city to make a reputable thing. But, so then, you know, it hosted it twice though. It hosted it once in 1932 and then in 1984, that's the most successful ones. Both times, LA did something remarkable. It made money. So, you know, there's that. And overbuilding giant venues has become a disheartening trend for major sporting events. So, it's. They already have the infrastructure in LA to kind of counteract this kind of circumstances as well. What else for LA? There's a transportation boom that will prevent logistical nightmares as well. Sport actually works in LA's favor. So, there's that. People in LA actually want the Olympics. LA will force IOC to reform, so they will stand up to IOC's jerky rules. The city gets a test run right now. Oh. 6,500 athletes, 200,000 coaches, 165, 30,000 volunteers, 5,000 spectators. So, yeah, there's that. And also, 31 years ago, the opening ceremony featured a jetpack. So, what else is better than a jetpack? I mean, seriously. There's nothing else better than a jetpack. I am unfortunately going to cut the show short. I mean, only because the technical difficulties and that sort of thing as well, it's kind of been a bit of a bummer of a show. But, you know, we got through it. Just to cap off the top stories, just in case you didn't hear it, Windows 10 is starting to roll out today. You should get an icon on your desktop. What else? A new car gets funded. GoDaddy launches in Australia. Street Fighter fails and succeeds at failing, at succeeding to fail to launch. And a large piece of satellite almost crashed into Australia. PC gaming is on the rise, but Australia still suffers from broadband bottleneck. And the Olympics should go to LA in about 20 years. No, 2024, they're voting for, so, you know, there's that. We are going to end the show out there at 10 to 11. Remember, you can find us at sheffieldmedia.net/glsgeek-io.net/gls. gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and you can support the Geek.io Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io. Remember, folks, we are on iTunes if you want to listen to the archive. Once you finish listening, trying to make do of this episode, go back and listen to the archive. There's some higher quality audio in the archive to listen to as well. Alrighty, thank you everyone. If you made it this far, thank you so much for trying to listen. I know I don't like doing download shows and having the broadcasting software crash 3 times, the Google Hangout crashing twice, and the audio streaming crashing once. I mean, you know, this is the beauty. I've done live shows for nearly 3 years now. This is the beauty of live broadcasting. You've just got to roll with the punches. And yes, the audio, the YouTube version will be much more fun to watch than the archive podcast version. But, you know, You've just got to roll with it. And you've just got to just put your boots on and strap in. But yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Tune in next week. We're going to have a Dog Shot again next week because it's going to be the first Wednesday of August. Yeah, July is nearly done. There's two more days left in July. And the first Wednesday in August will be the next show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Bye for now.
Listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek. Geek.